This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
This is EAA Radio.
Yes, it is.
And joining us, who's here, Fast Eddie?
Hey, we've got Dave Leitig here from EAA Learn to Fly.
Wait a minute. EAA's been around a long time. I think they know how to fly by now.
Right, but the problem is that you've got to bring more people into it because, you know, none of us lives forever.
We weren't all born knowing how to fly?
Nope.
Darn.
I hate when that happens.
All born wanting to fly, though, right?
Darn yes. Right. As a young child, definitely. Every time one went over, yep, definitely.
Exactly.
So EAA Learn to Fly is to help bring in more people to flying, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually have a facility on the grounds this week, the Learn to Fly Center, located right at the Four Corners, right across from the One Week Wonder. So I'm sure plenty of people will be stopping by there. We're right across there. And this was an idea we cooked up a few years ago. We thought, you know, a lot of people come to Oshkosh. A lot of people come to AirVenture. A lot of people, you know, get that bug while they're here, or maybe had it before they got here, say, hey, I want to learn to fly. Well, where do you go on the grounds to get that information? You know, where do you go learn that? And that's how we came up with the idea for the Learn to Fly Center.
Well, I'm sure I know the airlines are going crazy trying to get pilots, so I'm sure that hopefully you guys are getting a lot of interest. Do you actually hook them up directly with flight schools in their area, or what?
So we do a little bit of everything there, really. We try to answer any question they have. You know, as you can imagine, someone who is just, you know, coming into this world, they don't even know where to begin. So we try to point them in that right direction. And then, yeah, potentially help them find a flight school or a CFI in their area. Maybe a local EAA chapter that has some local knowledge of, you know, a flying club, a flight school, whatever it might be. And, you know, send them home with some of that. You know, some of that information.
So EAA is not actively teaching pilots to fly. You're more of a resource center. If you want to learn to fly, here's how to do it. We can help get you started.
Yeah, you got it. And we're trying to be a one-stop shop. This year, we just added on a forum space to the back of the tent, and we're doing 3 forums each day, all on different topics surrounding learning to fly. Today's first forum is at 10 a.m. It's called Passing Your Check Ride Part 1. It's a 2-part series, so we got that. We have How to Save Time and Money in Flight Training is another one of the presentations.
Well, that's a big one.
That is a big one.
Yep. You know, what are you going to fly? You know, what's your mission? Do you want to learn to fly because you want to be a professional pilot, or you want to fly for fun? And with that, that's going to, you know, change which path maybe you take. We have a CFI on hand that's helping people get their student pilot certificate, so you can check that first box on your learn to fly journey. Like you said, trying to find flight schools in the local area. We got flight simulators. So if you want to see what it's like to get behind the controls, we got a couple of Redbird flight simulators, as well as some at-home Microsoft Flight Sim 2020 flight simulators. So yeah, like I said, a little bit of everything.
Well, that whole subject right there, flight simulators do enable you to save time and money in flight training because you can fly a simulator anytime.
Yeah.
Regardless of weather.
Yep, and we actually have a couple forums, actually, that Redbird's putting on specifically about, you know, how to leverage an at-home simulator to reduce that time and money you spend, you know, burning avgas.
Yeah, well, that's like somebody once said, it's a lot easier to learn the instruments sitting at home than in the expensive airplane.
Yeah, exactly. And you can set yourself up with the scenario, you know, even if it's, you know, not your private, but you're doing your instrument, you set up your instrument approaches and stuff like that, and you're, you know, you're not wasting time.
You can practice the 75-mile final they were talking about earlier today.
Yeah, really. The 75-mile straight-in final.
Yeah. Have you had a lot of interest so far?
We have. So last year was our first year of the Learn to Fly Center. And what I thought was pretty interesting last year was, you know, we had a pretty even split of, you know, young adults, high school kids coming in that said, hey, you know, you just mentioned the airline pilots and, you know, people wanted to take that path. You know, a lot of young adults coming in that were interested in that. But also people, you know, in their mid-40s, 50s, 60s, or maybe folks that just retired that said, hey, I've been thinking about doing this my whole life. It's time for me to make that next step. So it's pretty cool to see the different backgrounds these people have and the different missions that they, you know, want to do with that pilot certificate.
Well, hopefully some of them will come back once they're pilots and say, hey, thank you for getting me started on this.
But you never know. They may want to volunteer over there as well during AirVenture.
You know, that'd be nice.
I've heard stories of people that got started and they volunteer, and it's a good thing, passing it along.
Yeah, that's been great. We actually, some of our most dedicated volunteers we have over there, because the facility is completely run by volunteers, you know, as is, you know, everything around here. But some of our key volunteers, they're all student pilots right now, and they see this as a way to share what they're going through right now.
Right, you know, and their excitement.
Their excitement, and hey, I did face some hurdles, so don't be, you know, upset if you run into some hurdles. You know, the thing we talk about is we're trying to demystify and break down barriers for people and make it so they're not afraid to ask the questions that they've always had.
Well, you know, previous generations have always had access to airports, but after 9/11, that changed. And what EAA doing is quite a step in the proper direction, filling in that void.
Absolutely. And I go back to the EAA chapter network we have and having 900 chapters around the country. You know, it's so powerful to say, yep, there's a group of EAA members in your own backyard. They know the flight schools. They know the flight instructors. They know the lay of the land, and they can, you know, help you kind of figure out where you're going to fit in that local aviation community. Because it's daunting standing on the outside of the fence looking in through the airport because, you know, like you said, especially after 9/11, all the fences that went up, all the signs and everything, it can be a scary place for someone that's never been there.
Right, and the image of, I could never do that, you know, but then you find out you can.
Exactly.
Yeah, because nothing deters a person like a fence, you know, especially when it comes to dreams and everything. That fence is a major obstacle.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Again, especially when you get the no trespassing signs up or authorized personnel only, you know, even just walking into that flight school or FBO or whatever it might be, it can be quite a big step and an intimidating step for people. So
Sure. Everybody looks so official.
Now, you have online resources as well, right?
We do. EAA.org/learn to fly is the home for all of them. We have an online video series courtesy of Sporty's Pilot Shop. It's about an 80 or so video series of learn to fly videos. We have step-by-step guides that'll walk you through. Here's kind of the process that's recommended, not, you know, necessarily the exact one, but a general process you can take to get started in flight training. Choosing your certificate. Should you pursue a private pilot certificate, sport pilot? Do you want to fly ultralights? You know, we lay out kind of the differences between all those for you. Flight training best practices, FAQs. And then, again, pushing people towards those local EAA chapters so they can get an Eagle Flight, which is the, you know, introductory flight program for adults. And what a lot of people don't know is if you take that Eagle Flight, you get a free EAA membership after the flight. And as you're going through your flight training, once you pass your FAA knowledge exam, EAA will actually reimburse you for the cost of that just because you took a free intro flight with an EAA member.
Nice.
That is nice.
Yep.
That's a pretty good perk.
Well, heck, I'm going to go. Oh, I'm already done that.
You're too old.
Well, yeah.
You know, and speaking of old, what age group do you see the most of at this exhibit?
I would say if you had to pick one specific age group, it is probably that younger, you know, just getting ready to graduate high school, early college, that are kind of looking at aviation as a career. Number two in that line is probably those folks just coming up on retirement or just recently retired that have said, again, I've wanted to do this for 20 years, but, you know, family, work, life got in the way, but now's the time to do it.
Yeah, I'm doing it, damn it.
Yep. Or, you know, I got 20 hours in my logbook over the last 20 years. You know,
yep.
Let's get this finished.
Hello,
up.
Guilty as charged.
Yep. Same here.
Yep. What are your hours? You're open?
9 to 5, typical exhibit hours.
Right.
Yep. And then the forums are at 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and then...
Where can people catch the forums?
Right in the Learn to Fly Center itself, right in the back room there. We have, and it's all in the official schedule, and you'll find everything there on the app and the paper, visitor guide, all that.
And call now, operator standing by.
That's right.
Or avoid at least the rush. Walk up.
Avoid the rush and say, hey, I want to fly.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely want to fly. Anyway, and you got sponsorship from Redbird, which they've made a big splash in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yep, we got two simulators courtesy of Redbird, and then Honeycomb Aeronautics. They manufacture yokes and rudder pedals and throttle quadrants for flight simulators. They've also donated a couple of very nice setups. And then Sporty's Pilot Shop also is doing a $50 off show special for their online ground school. And we have handouts for that you can take over to the Sporty's booth and get
nice.
That discount. So
nice.
You know, everyone wants to grow this pilot population and make sure we keep doing this for decades to come.
Well, because we all want to get on those planes and go somewhere on vacation.
Exactly.
And we need pilots to do that.
And nobody trusts an autonomous vehicle, period.
Yeah. Well, they don't have those yet in the air world, but they're thinking about it.
There is talk of that. But,
sure, it will come to pass.
You know, the thing that cracks me up is, you know, we're right at a crisis point with the airlines and pilots and everything. And I can't help that even with the best efforts of EAA and everything, it's going to take us a while to get some pilots in the pipeline and get them qualified.
Yeah, it's certainly not an overnight fix. You know, it's not overnight. You're going to get 1,000 hours and you're going to be all set to go. So
and I don't want to fly behind that guy. I want the guy with that worked for it and has the real experience.
Yeah, and as time goes on, you're going to have less and less of that. It's going to be all the newbies that look, you know, like my age or younger. So
right.
I'm never flying again commercial.
I don't want the guy in the cockpit that says, now, where's that seatbelt switch again?
You know, and you were talking about Microsoft Flight Simulator. That actually is a good tool because you can do all kinds of bad things with that you wouldn't want to do with a real plane.
Yeah, I tell you what, I grew up kind of in the I'll call it the heyday of Microsoft Flight Sim when they were coming out with a new one, which seemed like almost every year.
Yep.
I had my at-home joystick. You know, I'd play it all the time. I can't tell you how many times I did a make-believe air show over Oshkosh and like a Mustang or an extra or something. But, you know, as funny as it sounds, I think what I did on that simulator did translate to my actual flight training. You know, just understanding the basics of, you know, the basic physics of flight and what the controls do. So
what I used to like to do was to take an F-15 out of Philadelphia International, go straight up to 20,000 feet, cut the engine, glide all the way back down and fly under the Delaware River Bridge, Walt Whitman Bridge.
Walt Whitman.
Go right under it and then try to land.
Yep.
But anyway.
I beat you on that. Try going up the strip in Vegas with an F-18. The key is to keep your speed under 400 knots.
Nice. Why, all the traffic lights get you then?
No, you have that mirage sign and you go right through it.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us, Dave Leidig of EAA Learn to Fly. Check them out, people. Good stuff. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.